Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. When architect David Rifkind built his home in South Miami, he envisioned a zero energy, zero waste place. His goal was to build a home out of mostly recycled materials, one that leaves almost no carbon footprint. But how do cities build for a more sustainable and environmentally friendly future? And is there a demand for that in South Florida? Rifkind's the interim chair of the Department of Landscape Architecture and Environmental and Urban Design at Florida International University. He's a designer and a historian, and he joined us earlier this year to discuss what architects are doing to build a more sustainable and environmentally friendly future. A few years ago, you built your own house.
Yes.
You did it with sustainability in mind. Explain exactly how this house works. It's so different from others.
We were thinking about sustainability in two different ways. There's, of course, environmental sustainability, but also social sustainability in terms of how every work of architecture, or urban design, every intervention in the built environment has an opportunity to help build community or to help sustain healthy and thriving communities. And it's a little bit harder to do with homes, but one way we were thinking about it was that we wanted a home that really addressed the street the way that we would address our neighbors. So it's a much more welcoming environment. So instead of having like a big hedge or a fence in front of the house, it reaches outward with a porch and also with some really beautiful gardens that invite people to pass by the house.
Noticing some of the pictures, for example, you have the xeriscape. You don't have the typical Florida lawn.
Exactly.
Okay, why not?
Well, xeriscape is a much more sustainable option. Lawns are problematic for a number of reasons. One is they're a monoculture, which means that you're not going to have the same kind of habitat for animals. And in our case, we're really concerned with animals like birds, bees, butterflies, animals like that, especially pollinators. And so we wanted to be able to create a natural habitat through the landscape. But also lawns are problematic too because they require an enormous amount of resources. There's water, which is a limited resource. There's the gasoline that you burn just mowing this stuff. And then there's also the fertilizers, which are also problematic. So we wanted to eliminate all of that as much as possible.
You have solar panels?
Yes.
Is that the only way you're getting energy for the house?
No, the house is connected to the grid. The house generates most of its own power as well as generating most of its own drinking water. But in both cases, the house is connected to the utility grids. And we were actually pretty ideologically in favor of remaining connected to the grid, even if you're producing a surplus of power. The simple reason being that when we're producing our most amount of power is at peak usage times, right? So middle of the afternoon, everyone's got their air conditioning on. That's when the sun is generating the most power through photovoltaics. And so what we're doing is actually offsetting our neighbors' use at peak hours. And then we're consuming power from the grid during off-peak hours, like at night. And that's important because that also eliminates the need for building new nuclear reactors or other non-sustainable sources of energy.
And you're also, again, you talk about water as well. You Yes. are collecting your own water, right?
Yeah. So the house is set up so that it collects rainwater off of the roof into a large cistern. And then that water in turn is filtered for potable use inside the house. And so during the rainy season, there's no need to use any water from the grid at all. So for half of the year, all of the drinking water, bathing water, everything is coming from our roof.
The other thing, too, is the materials that you use to build it.
Yes. So another aspect of environmental sustainability is that you want to reduce the embodied energy of the building itself. And so materials have a footprint to them. Concrete is probably the most carbon-intensive material that we have in the Western world. And so we were really adamant about not using any concrete above the floor level, which is atypical because in Miami, almost everything is made out of concrete all the way up to the roof. But it's not necessary. We tend to believe that it's necessary because of hurricane force winds, but it's really not necessary. It's just that it's cheap and it's readily available. So instead, the house is made principally out of steel, which is largely recycled. So for example, the heavy steel structure of the house is about 75% recycled. And since we built this right after the Cash for Clunkers program took effect, most of the physical mass of the house is old Buicks and Cadillacs. So basically, most of the physical mass of the house is either recycled or rapidly renewable.
Why did you want to build this house?
It came from a couple of places. One is that my previous stop before I moved to Miami was that I was teaching at the University of Virginia, and I had a chance to hear a lecture by Bill McDonough, who was the former dean of architecture. I mean, his latest bestseller was Cradle to Cradle, and basically it's a plea for all of us in the built environment and in every other discipline to understand the environmental consequences of the work that we do and to start to build in a way that doesn't destroy the earth, but rather helps to rebuild it, as if humans could be, as if we could pattern our work on natural processes. And so this was really inspiring, partly because I started to understand the full stakes of what happens in the built environment when we build in a way that doesn't sustain.
I mean, as a designer and historian, I'm curious, what role do architects, designers have in that sustainability? I mean, it seems like a lot of it's on them, shouldn't it be?
Yes, it's on architects and designers to a degree, and then and through us, it's on everybody. And what I mean by that is that on the one hand, architects have both a lot of power and very little power. On the one hand, we have enormous power in terms of being public intellectuals, activists, teachers. We have an opportunity to set an example. And so that's why in the case of our house, even though it doesn't need to look sustainable, we were really committed to the idea that the solar panels are going to face the street. The difference in materials are going to be readily available to passerby. The difference in the landscape, all of those sustainability measures were going to be publicly visible. And that was going to be a way to help jumpstart the conversation over sustainability. But at the same time, architects have very little power in our society because decisions over the really big thing, I mean, the things that drive most, in the case of carbon emissions, what drives most carbon emissions are policy decisions either made by public policymakers like in government or by private developers. The biggest thing that we could do is simply change our land use pattern so that we don't drive everywhere. And that's a public policy decision that's really out of the hands of architects.
You're listening to a conversation that we had with David Rifkind. He's the interim chair of the Department of Landscape Architecture and Environmental Urban Design at FIU. And we're going to get back to that conversation in just a few minutes to discuss the demand for environmentally friendly building in South Florida. I do want to mention also, too, by the way, that on Thursday, we're going to have a special hour-long panel conversation on Sundial about homelessness in South Florida. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, recently dismissed a case out of Boise, Idaho, which challenged the right for homeless people to sleep in public places. And we want to hear from you. How should law enforcement respond to homeless living and sleeping on public property? What responsibility does local government have in supporting them? You can be part of that conversation. Text the word HI to 305-602-2646. Again, the word HI, H-I, to 305-602-2646. And again, that conversation's coming up on Thursday. We look forward to hearing your thoughts. But take a second here, and we want to mention that this is our, we're wrapping up our Winter Pledge campaign. I'm sitting in studio here with Alicia Zuckerman, our editorial director, and our director of membership, Suzanne Holterman, and we're going to tell you how you could be part of this movement that's happening right now, because we're getting the phones are ringing. A lot of people are joining us right now.
And it is a movement. We are less than $88,000 away from hitting our goal of $291,000. So we've made significant progress, but we are not there yet. As soon as we hit that number, this pledge drive is done. We're hoping very much to end it today. And in the process, eliminate an entire other pledge drive, one coming up in June. Maybe it's not coming up in June. Maybe it's going to cease to exist because we are going to hit that $291,000 today, maybe tomorrow, but let's hope for today. That's what we're all hoping. You can do your part in being part of eliminating that June pledge drive and getting us there. You can go to WLRN.org to make your donation. You can also give us a call at 866-247-WLRN, 866-247-9577. And support journalism, news, and local journalism here on WLRN.
So we are in the home stretch of this Winter Pledge campaign. And during this holiday season, you may be feeling a bit philanthropic. Well, you can do two good deeds with your contribution to WLRN today. When you contribute, you make independent journalism possible on WLRN. And today, when you contribute, you get to choose to join us in helping provide meals to families in need or help save the lives of homeless animals. We've partnered with Best Friends Animal Society and Feeding South Florida, two great organizations, to make this special opportunity available. All you have to do is give us a call or go to WLRN.org for the details. You can choose as your thank you gift either to support the Community Partnership of Feeding South Florida, or our Community Partnership of Best Friends Animal Society. $10 a month to WLRN as a sustaining member is all it takes. Ensure a strong future for independent journalism here on WLRN and make your essential contribution now. Again, that number is 866-247-9576. You can check out all the different levels. The more you give when you choose one of those community partnerships, the more good you'll do for them. WLRN.org is that website.
Again, that's 866-247-9576. Think about this, too, is we're coming up on the end of the year. How many people had New Year's resolutions and how many kept them? Exercise more? Yeah, kind of did. Read more? I did. Give more? I did. Did you give more? Did you give more to nonprofits? The year's not out. This is one of those that you can actually keep, one of those promises that you can actually keep. Give to a nonprofit. Give to public radio. Do it now. We're almost at the end of this drive. You're helping us get there. We are getting really close, and we can knock it out today. 866-247-9576. That's 866-247-WLRN. Takes 2 minutes. Do it now, please.
And you can get ahead of those New Year's resolutions. You can actually get that off your to-do list before the new year even starts by doing that right now. We have to conclude this pledge drive by tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. That's because that's when the impeachment proceedings are back at it, and we will be covering that. You will be hearing that here on WLRN. Covering those, running those impeachment proceedings here on WLRN means that we have lost a lot, hours and hours, dozens of hours. Almost 30 hours of pledge drive time, because we felt strongly that it was the priority to bring you that coverage here on WLRN. Well, help us help show us that that was the right decision, that it's important for you to hear that on WLRN, what's happening in Washington with the impeachment proceedings. You can do that by making a pledge now at WLRN.org. You can call us at 866-247-9576.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And you know what you hear on a lot of other radio stations? You hear this.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Matt.
We own Rhino Shield of New England. Check our track record. You'll see that Rhino Shield is the original permanent paint system for home exteriors.
Rhino okay, Shield now these guys sound like they run a perfectly good business, making a perfectly good product. But come on commercial radio, this can be like 15 minutes of every hour. It can be more.
Our results have made Rhino Shield America's premium brand. It's why other major brands.
I want these guys to have a healthy business, but can I just say, life is too short to spend it listening to ads. And yes, a few times a year here on public radio, we interrupt programming for our pledge drives. That's annoying, but it is nothing compared to this.
Don't paint. Don't final.
Go Rhino.
And I bring this up because it is your donation that lets us survive without ads like this. Donations are the reasons that we can have independent news coverage and an idealistic mission to put voices and stories and analysis and perspectives on the air you simply cannot hear anywhere else. That is why I donate to public radio myself, because I want to hear that stuff on the radio and I do not enjoy listening to ads. If you like the ads, good for you. Godspeed. If you don't like the ads, the only reason we don't have them is because people like you and me, we give money. Here is how you pledge.
Why is Ira Glass the only person who can make a local ad sound so good? And he's right, though. That's the thing. It's like we don't listen to those because we don't want that. We don't want that on our radio. We want to hear programming. 866-247-9576. A few people to thank. Eric from Hialeah, Anna from Miami, Barbara from Sunrise, and Christine from Boynton Beach. By the way, that shows you we've got listeners all over South Florida because we cover Palm Beach County, Broward County, Monroe County, Miami-Dade County. You listen to public radio every day. You listen to WLRN. Be a part of it, not just as a listener, but as a contributor. 866-247-9576.
This winter membership campaign is scheduled to end tomorrow, and with your financial support today, we know that we can end this drive tomorrow successfully. Our goal is to be that place where you go to listen to the news you use every day. Your goal is to be one of the fans of WLRN who help us meet our goal for this campaign. 866-247-9576. Can we count on your support to eliminate our June pledge drive and end this drive successfully? WLRN.org is the website. Again, that phone number is 866-247-9576. You're entered into our grand prize drawing for Rick Steves. You get one last chance to make to be entered into the iPhone. All good reasons for you to give. 866-247-9576 or online, WLRN.org, and thanks.